listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life Program for Wednesday, June 28th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Oh, good evening, Michael. So glad to be here again, as always.
Well, so glad to have you, and thank you so much to those that are joining us live. We appreciate you. We appreciate your contributions. And thank you to those listening in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, Dr. Vicki, you and I were talking prior to the broadcast about some things that we'd been thinking about, but I think there's something that definitely comes to the forefront. And Dr. Vicki, would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Well, we're going to talk about loss and how to manage loss tonight. But before we do, I would like to make mention, Dr. Kevin has made a notation here. He listened to last night's program with Tabitha. When we had her as a guest, he was really impressed. And thank you very much to Tabitha for coming on. Now, one thing we were remiss about is that Tabitha has also written a little book on, do no harm to yourself. So if you would kindly put that in the chat, Tabitha, we will mention that on air tonight so that other people might access. And my understanding is that it's an ebook, and so you can have that. So thank you very much to Tabitha.
Absolutely. And that's, real quick, that's my fault. I had put it into my document that I use, and it did not save. It's supposed to auto-save, so I apologize, but Tabitha will be happy to mention that. And then, Dr. Vicki, you were about to also discuss the other...
Yes, well, we had a few ideas tonight, but Wendy was writing in the chat before the program, and, well, that just does it, doesn't it? A very prominent member of her community has just passed away, and it's quite a shock to everybody. Mm-hmm. He was just 55. He had a wife, 3 kids, youngest graduated from high school, oldest just had a baby Saturday, first grandchild. And so she says he was healthy. He never ate bad, didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he wasn't overweight. In fact, he was thin. So it's a shock that, and so she's just asking, reaching out, like, how do we deal with this? How do we manage this? How do we work through, this process of the shock and trauma and then the grief of loss? And it's a really, it's an important discussion for all of us. And
it really is. Yeah. And it's, It's at times an especially difficult one to tackle because when it comes to grief and when it comes to loss and how we process that, it's different for every one of us. There is no right way to grieve. And I think, you know, that's something I do want to keep in mind. And then we were also talking about, and I think, Dr. Vicky, you have some information that we looked up on, was it?
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, everyone.
Yes, yeah, I was going to say.
This, back in 1969, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote a book on death and dying. And she's talking about the stages, and in particular here, the five stages of grief, which is denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Now, Michael, as you, when we were talking about this before the program, you made it really clear that she had written this particularly for people in palliative care, you know, who are, you know, preparing, you know, and going through the dying process. But also for those who are dealing with grief in the after process. Mm-hmm. And as you poignantly point out, Michael, also is that there's no right order for this: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. It can happen in any order. So, it's whatever. It's a very private, internal experience. And very often, I just want to add, yes, everyone, there is a 7 stages of grief, but there's the grieving after grieving. So mm-hmm. there's other, you know, learning to live with it. So, and but she primarily dealt with the 5.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a common misconception is that you go through the stages in order, or the 5 different stages of grief in order. You don't. Just from memory of when I'd studied this many years ago, it is something that can happen. You know, sometimes people are feeling multiple different stages of grief at the same time. Some people skip a stage and they never experience it. It has a lot to do with your personality, your perspective, the lessons you've learned in life.
So, absolutely. So considering mm-hmm. that, you know, a couple of the other them I added to the 7 would be shock and guilt, you know, that very often we feel. And in this case, for Wendy, it's the shock. You know, it's like that, oh, what happened?
Right.
It's that immediate shock.
It's like it's a reminder of our own mortality, too, which is always uncomfortable.
Well, an aftershock is that wondering, how did that happen? You know, wondering what happened? How did that happen? What do you mean, this guy? But he did all the right things. And it's that mental dialogue that we have about, you know, bargaining with ourselves. Well, if I do all the right things, I ought not to die by the time I'm 55. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Well, and, you know, I think it's important, especially for our, you know, our philosophical belief, when a lot of times when you think about the bargaining stage, and a lot of times this is real, it's bargaining with a higher power. And, you know, I'll donate more. I'll give time to the church. I'll be a better person if only you let me live.
Yeah.
And I do want to challenge that, because I think one of the values that we tend to share is the idea that you shouldn't have to bargain with a higher power to do the right thing. But I also understand, and there are people in my family whom I love that obviously have a very religious outlook, and it brings them comfort, and at some times I don't necessarily want to take that away or argue with it, but I do fundamentally feel that you shouldn't have to beg for the right thing. And also, you know, you always hear, and there are no atheists in foxholes. Yeah, first of all, I think that's debatable, but also, again, just alludes to the comfort that it can bring. But I think that if we raise our level of awareness, look deeper into life, we can find a lot of comfort just in the wonderful different mix of reality, because we have to look at it in its entirety. And we can't just focus on the death either. We have to look at the life that was lived and the positive contributions that that person hopefully made.
Well, and hopefully as we're doing that, we learn to accept that there's now a void, a space that one human being, or a collective, one, let's in this case, one human being covered a lot of space. And suddenly that space seems void. It's empty. How do we fill that? And that's really hard for families who are close. But in Wendy's case, a member of the community, someone who is well-known, always involved, you know, and, oh, that's now a vacant space. And, you know, I can speak from experience. You know, you want to pick up the phone and call somebody, but you realize, oh, they're not here anymore. Mm-hmm. And there's that space. So it's learning to live in a way of filling that space, even though the pain never goes away, people. That's what I say with, Tabitha has just mentioned that, you know, finding meaning is part of the, David Kessler mm-hmm. worked with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and came up with the finding meaning. And thank you for that, Tabitha.
And good time to segue to real quick, because I think you're already getting some love, more love for Tabitha, and she absolutely deserves it. But best time to point out that she did put in the information for her book. It's Defeating Yourself, Bully, A Guide to Stop Beating Yourself Up and Start Building Confidence for a Life You Deserve. It's on Amazon, and it's in paperback.
There you go. This is a really complex topic, and I think one of the things we want to do is point a finger at about why. You know, when you say he was healthy, he was this, he was that, and why did that happen? And naturally, especially in the society that we live in now, mm-hmm. is we want to point a finger, we want to find out why. And one of the comments in the chat, and I say this with all the respect and love in my heart, and I mean this, talking about maybe the vaccines did it, you know, maybe COVID did it, but the vaccines. I think that's a moot point, and I think we have to keep in mind that that kind of a conversation goes nowhere. And as much as that may or may not be true, it doesn't matter. And we can inflame things, you know, in ways that maybe aren't true. We can speculate in ways that may or may not be true, but it doesn't matter. And I happen to know someone I had known since grade school. We were the same age. I'm 68 this year. She was 42. Middle of the night, she's got four young kids. Middle of the night, has a heart attack and dies. Like, explain that one. You know, my Scandinavian old Viking people would believe that the day of birth and death is marked. And that's why you live with such, you know, ferocity. Mm-hmm. But part of it now is we've grown very accustomed to ideas of lengthening life. You know, we don't like mortality. We have to find those reasons we want to fix it so nobody dies.
And we don't deal with death like previous generations have. And I don't care where you are on the earth. You know, 150 years ago, death was a very in-your-face thing. You didn't have the services we do now. It wasn't so antiseptic, you know. You didn't have professionals mm-hmm. that came in and dealt with it. You dealt with it. And depending on where you are, you still do that. So there's kind of a removal. You know, we no longer live in a time where people dying is not unusual, and, you know, people dying young is also not unusual. We don't live in that time anymore. I'm being rather confusing because I'm thinking ahead. But, correlation does not equal causation. And when you don't know, literally anything is possible, but because something is possible does not make it true.
Well, and this is why it's so important for all of us, especially as metaphysicians, is to understand the concepts of consciousness and understanding that mortality is a given, and to appreciate everybody and each other and ourselves while we're here.
Very well said.
That's the key. It's not a matter of, I know somebody said to me, a couple of years ago, he was in his 80s, and he said, you know, his sister was really sick, and he says, well, if she dies, I said, there's no if, it's when. And he looked at me with this shocked expression, and I said, well, you're at the age, we're all getting to that age, it's a matter of when we leave. not, there is no if about this. That's a very hard concept. It's like, oh, I said, enjoy her while she's here. Call her every day, you know, have your best talks and reminisce about your life. That's the joy of being in this moment. And we have to do that more often, and appreciating family, appreciating each other, being kinder to each other. You know, I think, and part of that guilt that was mentioned is, could I have, should I have, you know, and Dr. Kelly would say, get rid of that, you know, coulda, shoulda, wouldas. Mm-hmm. And because we have that guilt that we didn't live life to the fullest.
And very true. It makes me think of something that my dad always said, that my grandfather always said, and I'm sure he picked it up somewhere, that the saddest words in the English language are what if. But I am reminded at times like this about the wise words of the immortal philosopher, Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise. This is in generations, and people that are fans would probably recognize this, but that topic, you have somebody that's trying to live forever. His family died in an accident. He was, not an accident. His family died, and he was desperate to get them back and to live forever in this blah, blah, blah. It doesn't work, and during it, he had called death a predator that stalks us. And at the end, Jean-Luc Picard says this man called death a predator that stalks us, but instead he chooses it to look at it as a reminder, to appreciate every moment, because it won't come again. And it makes life sweet. And I think it is much a matter of perspective when we look at things in life. And for every time that we think about someone that is lost, we must also look at the very real truth of the context that right now, as we speak, there's new life being born into this world, new possibility. There are new people falling in love, kids that are discovering things for the first time about life, and there are all these joyous moments. And we can't lose sight of that either. We can't focus only on the negative, on the grief, on the pain. And I think in my personal experience, thinking about those other things and trying to put it in context, it has really helped me. You know, my mother died when she was very young. She was 42, or 41, actually. And I was 18 at the time. And like you said earlier, you know, you have somebody who kind of had meant, you know, thought to call somebody and then realized they had passed. I was feeling sad, and I was just thinking about things, and I was still feeling sad. And I thought, you know, I would like to talk to Mom about some things. And I thought about calling, and I thought, oh, I can't do that anymore. And there are a lot of things that I went through. You know, for me, having a dark sense of humor is part of my grieving process. It's how do I cope with a lot of things. So to some, they might hear something and think, well, that's, you know, so cruel. You know, basically, it would be something like this. And please forgive me. You know, when I was young, I was working at a restaurant. And, you know, as guys will, occasionally a your mom joke will pop up, to which I would become very saddened, and I would say, but, you know, my mom died. And then they would get very apologetic, very sad, very serious. And I said, listen, I'm just joking with you. And they said, oh, she's still alive. I'm like, no, but it's okay. I'm not holding it against you. But I would just do it because, you know, making them uncomfortable, it was part of the joke. And I would then play it off. And then it was just, and it worked for whatever reason. You know, it was well received, but that was my way of dealing with things. So I hope you'll forgive me for my lack of tact or taste, but
everyone has their own way, Michael.
Exactly. And you know, I also, what I just said about trying to remind yourself in those times of grief and pain that there are wonderful things that are happening, those are tools that I used in that moment, and those helped me. So I hope that that might help somebody else. But if that's not your way to grieve, then that is okay.
You know, Dr. Iona said in the chat, with her recent health scare, she told her daughter she's not afraid of dying. She's afraid of being in pain and dying alone. And that's a very real moment. Dr. Kevin says, right now it's not the when, it's the how I'm going to transition. I'm totally with you on that, everybody. Look, the dying is not the issue. It's the getting dead that's the issue for me. So, you know, and I make light of that with people, but it's a very true thing. The greatest thing about the 21st century is painkillers. So, you know, that's a good thing. But every time someone passes, no matter who it is, how close you are, there's a void. the one thing we have to keep in mind is having compassion for ourselves when we've lost someone, and compassion for those who have experienced a greater loss. And the difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy says, I'll write a card. Empathy says, what can I do to help you? And being in that. And you know what comes to mind is a very dear friend of mine. I'd known her son since he was a toddler. And when he was 27, he committed suicide. And I was the only one, I found out later, who would still continue to talk to her and remember her son, remembering Adam, and even on his birthday every year, talking to her and saying, you know, I feel his spirit's around. And it gives her comfort to know that someone else regarded him in a good way, too, no matter how hard his life was. You know, she was a mother who lost her son. And in our friendship, loving her enough to acknowledge, you don't pretend they've just gone away because it's a hard topic. But then in other cases, I equally find that people compete for pain. And this is never a better example than going to a funeral. You know, who's crying louder, who had knew them the best, what their special experiences were. And that's when I always step back. And because people honestly don't know what to do with pain for the most part. Just like my friend losing her son, that pain was too great for her friends. And they just stopped talking to her. They didn't know what to say to her, and I debriefed a lot about that. Because they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. Pain is this, too big.
It is.
But then people compete for pain. It's crazy. It's like, because it's about validation, self-validation, self-acknowledgement. You know, that we are free sovereign beings of the universe, and to all of us comes our time. And it's in the sharing and the experience of that and loving each other. Oh, even in the darkest moments is what's so critical. And if you ever notice some of that competition with people, just know that that's the best way they have to deal with things because they don't get it. And you just step back and still be a support. And then know when to walk away when it's getting out of control, because I've seen that happen a lot, especially in doing counseling work, is you have to say, okay, wait a minute. You know, cry for 10 minutes, manage your emotions. In an hour, you're going to cry again for 10 minutes, but there's a balance, you know, because you're still here. And then a lot of people feel guilty for still being here when somebody else is gone. You know, this is such a complicated, multi-layered experience of life. But in my views, it's that we have been conditioned to not face death. And you said it earlier, Michael, you know, 150 years ago, 100 years ago, it's very different. That's not to say grief was any less.
Right.
But you moved on because there wasn't, oh, you couldn't do heart transplants, liver transplants, kidney transplants, you know, all these medications, all these medical treatments. There wasn't this myriad of things that could extend our expiry date,
and you know, it makes me think about, you just mentioned at a funeral you'll find people that will compete for pain, and you know, they'll say, you know, I've been through this, or it hurts me this much, you know. I can think of people like that, you know, in my own life. And I also think that you know, luckily I don't have to worry about that, because obviously I've experienced the worst pain that any human can, so I don't worry about competing, and it's just a nothing issue. But joking aside, that is kind of a human tendency. I mean, we feel what we go through. We can only try to empathize with others. We don't know what's going on the inside like we do with ourselves. Mm. And you know, it makes me also think about the fact that, you know, we're just, like I said earlier, we're not used to death. And, you know, I think we should offer some, you know, heartfelt respect and kind thoughts to our ancestors who had to deal with the same grief, the same heartache, the same pain, and on a much more frequent level. Think about how common it was to have many children and for many of those children to die. And a parent suffering that kind of loss, not once, not twice, sometimes three times. And that there are still people in the world that deal with that kind of loss. And not to denigrate, because you cannot compare grief and pain. It's just an apples to oranges kind of thing. But I do think we should you know, respect and think on the fact that there are people that deal with grief in a very visceral sense and repeated, people that are in war zones, people that have had to suffer through combat.
Ooh, yeah.
And I think that when we also put things into context, not only do we know that we're not alone, which is incredibly therapeutic in and of itself, we also gain a better understanding of life, its complexities, its true wonders, its gifts to us, the pure joy that it can be, and then the pain is the flip side of that coin. It is debatable whether or not we can experience one without the other, but the truth is we must. This is life for us, and we must find a way to put one foot in front of the other and to use these experiences to continually evolve, to make ourselves better human beings. And I think one thing that you can pull away is empathy, the ability to empathize with others on a much deeper level.
You know, pain, if I just add this, just for all of us who are learning and growing and evolving, hopefully, the one thing I've always been kind of very internal about pain, and protective of it, to be honest. And it occurred to me again many years ago when, you know, people want to pet you like a puppy and tell you everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It kind of would irritate the crap out of me. It's like, you're trying to take my pain away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take my pain away. And I don't want you to take my pain away any more than I want you to take my joy away.
Right, right.
It's, you know, that's, I own that.
Exactly. Speaking of which, did you see Tabitha's comment earlier in chat? It was a quote.
Go ahead.
It's a quote from Star Trek V. Again, I'm sorry, this is what you sign up for when you listen to this broadcast. You get some wonderful wisdom, and then you get excellent, excellent Star Trek quotes. She was quoting Captain Kirk from Star Trek V at a time where he's speaking to a you know, devious kind of cult-like leader who takes away people's pain psychologically, thereby being able to influence them. And then this, he has a great, you know, monologue here where he says, you know, that pain and guilt can't be taken away with the wave of a magic wand. They're the things that we carry with us, the things that make us who we are. If we lose them, we lose ourselves. You know, I don't want my pain taken away. I need my pain. I always remember that line, too, so I did want to throw that out there. But that's exactly like what you were talking about. Our pain is also part of what shapes us. It's what we carry with us. It's those key events in our lives.
Absolutely. And it's that don't trespass on other people's pain, and don't allow people to trespass on your pain. And we learn to live with pain. We really do. We learn to... And loss is the biggest pain that you'll ever experience. So there, when it comes to that depth of spiritual or emotional loss. But it's yours, and you live with it. And I live with it. You live with it, Michael. And there, it's... But I remember constantly reminding myself of the impact. If these people didn't have an impact on me, I wouldn't grieve them so much. And how much it helped to shape me, and how grateful I am that they were in my life. And again, in living with that gratitude.
Absolutely. You know, something I've often said, and I usually say it in relation to people that have lost a dearly loved pet. And part of that grief is you don't want to experience that pain again. And you unfortunately know that likely you will, because we outlive our pets, unfortunately. But by which I mean they should have much longer lifespans, not the other way around. But one thing I always say is they'll say, you know, I'll never get another cat, I can't do that again. And I understand that idea, but I'll also say this, that the, like you said before, the only reason it hurts so much is because it was so wonderful to begin with. And yeah. We have to understand that when with such joy we are going to say goodbye, and it's going to hurt, but if we don't fight against it, it can be a much healthier process. And I would also say that if you know, not everybody's right to have a pet, but if you are one of those people and you are afraid of that pain, I encourage you to embrace the joy too, because there's a lot of animals out there that need homes. My little soapbox.
You know, speaking of which, Dr. Mike has added, and thank you for this, Dr. Mike, we need to express our emotions. He writes, you need to find healthy ways to express emotions. Drug and alcohol is not the answer. Oh, sad. Sorry, I had to answer that.
But it's not the answer, right?
No, I'm just
kidding,
teasing you.
Kidding.
You might consider writing in a journal, creating art, or participating in activities that allow you to express your feelings and thoughts. And I appreciate you saying that, and I know I was throwing a little humor, but I have I have stuff that I've made, and I know one woman asked me one day, she was visiting, and said, oh, what were you feeling when you did that painting? I said, nothing. And she said, well, no, but it's got this color and that color, and it's so bold. What is the spiritual expression of that? And I said, it was therapy. I don't know. And I made this 4-foot alien out of paper mache. Somebody asked me, why did you make that? I said, because Fredo is fun and he was therapy.
And you know? It lets you get in the carpool lane. So.
I know, you know. Finding that, and I always have, and I totally am so on board with what Dr. Mike has said, find a way to release, even in short bursts, as the times of your days allow, to release it, you know, not to hold it in, it's yours, but, you know, release it, even if it's a little at a time, you know. And some people are delayed grievers. I know my daughter and I had a talk about this not long ago. She said, I deal with shock and trauma after. And I said, yeah, it could be a week later, a month later, but she's delayed. My second daughter mm-hmm. is in the moment.
You know,
so each of us is different in that way.
Correlates perfectly with another wonderful comment in chat. I believe it was Dr. Raven. Did you see the message that she'd relayed?
And
she had talked about a dear friend of hers. It was a woman that was married for 30 years to their sweetheart. And it was a wonderful marriage, a very loving marriage. And if I read correctly, about 10 years ago, the husband had died in an accident where he was hit by a car while riding a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And she had relayed some of the details. And one of the important ones was how she had walked into the bedroom and it hit her that her husband was gone. Her husband was dead. And this is years later, I believe 5 years, 5 years later, yeah. But I thought that was just very pertinent.
Yep, I know. It's, everyone here, everyone in the chat, everyone listening in the archives has got some experience of loss. And maybe you haven't, you know, at this time of your life, haven't experienced a direct family member or a best friend, but you know of or hear of someone. And just know that this is a part of life and to be there for each other and just
Absolutely.
To support, even if you don't understand. Because hear me clear, I never want to understand to have the experience of losing a child.
That's
flat out.
Absolutely.
The first thing I say is, I do not know how you feel. I can't know. And honestly, I don't want to know, but I'm here for you. You know, I love you and I'm here for you. And understand that what you're experiencing now, I just can't know what that is. And that's being respectful, but being supportive. So, it's be supportive of people, even if you don't get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's not sometimes the best that we can do is be an ear for them to vent to, yeah. not to try to fix all their problems, not to try to offer solutions. Sometimes people aren't ready for that. You have to be in the right mind, in the right, you know, time and your place to hear the message appropriately. And I do need to add a correction to myself. I've been, you know, reading through the description of the situation from Dr. Raven, and I thought I'd caught it, but as the chat had gone through, I'd missed an important part. I knew that she'd gone to a widow's camp and that she had gone through the different stages. What I'd missed is that years later she had fallen in love again after she had kind of come to terms. A year later, you know, she'd become remarried after meeting this person, after this kind of event where she was able to come to grips after the widow camp, etc. And then they were very happy. It was incredible. And then last September, her second husband had died. And I believe that's the situation. Again, you know, Dr. Raven, I'm sure you've been a good friend and a good source of support for this person. And I think that is so important because there are many people that are going through similar experiences. And again, not to compare grief, but we have to be there for one another because we're going to go through a tough time ourselves. And thank God we have our friends and family and this community of the curious to help us through these.
Well, if I can add something else, because our chat goes so fast, anybody listening in the archives, sometimes it's hard for us to multitask. Dr. Raven has also said her pal also became, at the age of 50, became a grief counselor to help others. You know, so it's we can pass on and share and be there in ways we couldn't have imagined on the other side, because life is a curious thing.
Isn't it, though?
It is. And on that note, being a curious thing and living life to its potential, everyone, Michael is taking a holiday next week, living life to the fullest, as he should, because it's been a while, taking a road trip. So we're not going to have a program next week. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to have Dr. Mike on the following week. So in 2 weeks, Dr. Mike, if you're available, we'd love to have you on.
And Dr. Mike, he was kind enough to shoot me an email. He is going to be available on July 12th. So our next broadcast is going to be July 12th, 2 weeks from today. And
perfect.
You know, of course, we had tossed around the topics. Or do we talk about UFOs/UAPs? Or do we talk about biology, marine biology, and this curious phenomena where orcas are beginning to band together and declare war on ships. But
off Scotland mm-hmm. now, not just Spain and France.
And, you know, he was saying either or, maybe a little bit of both. What do you think, Dr. Vicky?
What's that?
What do you think? Should we focus on more of the biology, or we should talk about some UFO?
Oh, I want to cover as much territory as we possibly can.
All right, a little bit of both it is. So.
Because I really want to talk about that Vegas incident, you know, with the two beings in the backyard and what we all think about that, you know, crashing spaceships and whatever. That happened in, I believe, May in Vegas. So I'd like to know if there's any news in that with MUFON. And also talk about his take on some of these shifts of energy that are going on and, you know, his experience and what he's noting, and especially since he has more time on his hands being retired. I want to know what he's up to.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're going to pick his brain. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Mike. We appreciate it. So that's going to be 2 weeks from tonight, July 12th. I appreciate you letting us go for a week. This time next week, I'll be in the Black Hills exploring some parts of home, you know, from back in the day. And I'll be taking the trio, the dogs with me. They're going to be, me, them, and some Trazodone, if you know, you know. And, it's going to be a good time and some audiobooks, podcasts. It's going to be fun. So I appreciate that. And I think that kind of brings us to that time of the evening, doesn't it, Dr. Vicky?
We have some names in the chat to, select some cards. Right. So I think what we have here is Dr. Ione first.
All right. I'm going to take your word on that. So remember, it's your fault if we're wrong.
Yep.
I'm kidding, of course. And Dr. Ione. All right. I have wild card number 7, Hope, a perennial classic, and I love it. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Well, you might appreciate, Dr. Ione, that you got the world in support of hope. Opportunities abound. So if you've been, and this is just my sense of things, just going to roll here, if you've been feeling kind of curious or puzzled about the energy and what's going on, I'm going to say to you that the universe is in a bit of a flux and a reconfiguration time of energy. So be hopeful that things are unfolding and the path is becoming clearer, that there's opportunities in front of you yet. Maybe just a little bit outside your realm of thinking, but they're definitely there.
Well said. All
Dr.
right.
Raven, yeah. I think, is next.
Oop. sounds like. Dr. Raven, for you, I have number 9 in the Life Leadership Paragon suit, empowerment. So number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Well, now I have the 9 of clubs in support of that. And the 9 of wands, 9 of clubs, it's what I call one of the guard cards. It's like self-protection. So when it comes to empowerment, Raven, it's protecting your energy and not allowing others to, you know, kind of take too much. You can only give what you have. So it might be a time of, you know, doing a little bit of healing. So you gather your spirits, gather your forces and your energy, just kind of, you know, a battery charge. So that's what this is saying to me. And as that battery charges up, then you get, you know, more to give. So that's what I see. The empowerment comes when you're, again, preserving your own energy. All right.
Very good.
Very Jerry nice. Is next.
Jerry, for you, I have, let's see, number 39 in the life skills suit, education. All right. So number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for life lessons in experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, I love it that the star is there, Jerry. So, along with this continued learning, I'm going to sound really hokey here and say make a wish. I know it sounds silly, but, you know, projecting for kind of what you want. The star indicates in my mind water, and it's that flow of energy. So it's like you're creating this new flow of energy. So reach for the stars. And again, I don't mean to sound hokey, but that's what I want to say to you. Go for it.
It's a great message. It's not hokey at all. And sometimes these things, you know, they saying something nice and saying something like that, reach for the stars, might sound like a cliche, but it's also a wonderful sentiment. Doesn't make it not true. Yeah. But, all right. If I'm not mistaken, we have Laura next.
Laura, we do.
For you, I have number 14, energy shift and new chapter. And that is in the existential suit. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction, out with the old and in with the new.
Well, I got the 4 of spades, Lauren, so I had to ask, what is that about? And I pulled the Jack of Diamonds. So how I'm going to say this is you might be in a gathering of yourself. The 4 of spades usually is kind of that take a rest kind of period, or you've been in a rest period, and now you're gathering that energy into that new chapter. And a lot of that's a financial rebound, financial planning, and getting back on your feet again, or certainly one that's more comfortable for you. So I feel really encouraged that there is that shift, and you feeling the word I want to use here is a little more secure. So that's always a good thing. Everyone needs to feel that, or should feel that. So that's my thought on that. All right. Tabitha, I think, is next. Michael? I lost sound. I don't hear you, Michael. Are you muted?
Yes, I am. That happens to the best of us. It's not my fault. Act of God. All right. I'm sorry, Tabitha. I have for you number 33. It's in the preference or principle. excuse me, it's in the Surfer's Disciple and Other Suit, Preference and Principle. I'm on a roll tonight. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. Good card, good card.
Well, and I'll tell you, there's one card standing, like it just spoke to me, and it's the Seven of Diamonds. That Seven of Pentacles to me is a harvest card. Now, how do you relate preference and principle to harvest? It's when you're able to discern the difference between your opinion versus, you know, what's more of a fact and a principle that you're going to, you know, stand by. Then you start to see more of the rewards of improved behavior, improved outlook, you know, knowing when to mind your own business. And look, I say this to myself all the time. Is this a principle or just a preference? You know, I mean, really. And it does lighten the load. It lightens the mind. It lightens us emotionally. And in this case, Tabitha, it's coming for you is you've, and I'm going to say you already have kind of sorted this out and started to say, whoa, that's got nothing to do with me. This feels better. And so that reaping that harvest, you know, after all the work that you've been doing, starting to say, well, you know, I'm in a way better place. So that's a harvest in and of itself.
All right. I believe we have Dr. Mike.
We do.
Next, and Dr. Mike, for you, I pulled number 38. It's in the life skills suit, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. Good card. And we'll have to ask our card keeper. I don't know that we pulled that one in a little bit.
No. Well, I really like this. First, though, likened to what I just had, you know, with Laura, I get the Six of Spades, and I'm saying, what's that about? So I had to draw another one. So Six of Spades tells me you're getting to the destination, but, you know, it's feeling a little bit cumbersome, you know, a little uncertainty. You know, it's like, you know, it just feels, you know, in that gray matter. Not gray aliens, it's just that kind of gray zone of not having a clarity. But the Ace of Pentacles, that Ace of Diamonds, says it's on the way. So that open-mindedness, even though, yeah, maybe haven't made any new commitments to other things that you have thought about doing, but there's definitely a reward. So there's financial gain here from how you're investing yourself. So it might be a new contract, you might be hired out temporarily in some way, but it gives you a focus, and again, there's a remuneration involved here. So being open-minded that there's some stuff coming your way, Dr. Mike. I like it.
I like it, too. I got to say, Dr. Vicky, I always love listening to your insights. I really appreciate that, and thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you, Michael.
And,
all right. I think we have Wendy. I think
we do.
If I'm not wrong here, she's the last name in the chat.
I believe we have Dr. Kevin as well.
Oh, okay. We got Kevin.
So, but Wendy, speaking of thinking people, thank you. Longtime listeners will know that Wendy is our card keeper. She tracks the cards for those patterns and appreciate everything that you do. For you tonight, I have number 7. It's in the Life Leadership Paragon suit. Self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness.
Hi, Priestess Wendy. I think you're in a psychic shift. It hit me for a minute. I have to think about this. Self-mastery, High Priestess. I think your intuition is going through a metamorphosis. And look, this happens. Yeah, you know, as we grow and change, evolve, mature, it you suddenly have insights that you didn't know you could have, or didn't know that were possible for you. And the other thing I can give me, let me give you a little parallel here for a second. About 25 years ago, a series of events happened that one day I was doing a reading for somebody. I touched their hand and I could diagnose their medical condition. I did not know I could do that. And of course, it's evolved since then differently. But that's what I'm feeling for you, Wendy. There's a shift in your intuitive perspective here as you are continuing to evolve, like a different kind of universal window is opening. Of course, I could always say you were downloaded by aliens. I think that.
I think that's the most logical explanation.
I do.
I mean, come on. We'll ask Dr. Mike. He'll settle it for us next in a couple weeks here.
Oh, Wendy's saying that she agrees. She's been feeling it and seeing that for the last couple of months. Thanks for that, Wendy. Because, you know, it's one of those moments that's like, whoa, this is different. This is a different take on things. So High Priestess is a pretty powerful message in that way.
It is a powerful message.
Especially when it's partnered with self-mastery. That's big.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, thank you just for the feedback to everybody, because, you know, several people, you know, Dr. Allen said she had felt that to what you had said to her, Dr. Vicky.
Awesome.
Several people, Dr. Raven, Laura, you know, I believe had said the cards were on point. I'm probably conflating things. I'm trying to keep up with the chat, and so please forgive any mistakes. But just thank you, everybody, for your feedback. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And Dr. Mike says it's too hot to think, so that's why he's on hold.
I can definitely appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay, we have Kevin next.
All right. For you, I have number 26, Energy Signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness, resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy. Remove what is unhealthy. Excuse me.
Well, you know, I got the Ace of Clubs. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Were you finished?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the Ace of Clubs for you, Kevin. Look, changing your energy signature. And okay, I don't remember reading a lot of details of things, but I remember the essence. And I'm feeling like you've done this work on yourself in the last number of months. Yeah, let's just say even the last year, year and a half. And now you're starting to see the rewards, like the achievements. And what I'm feeling is these small little increments that are allowing you to see the result of an energy signature change. So, you know, when we can, you know, Michael, you know, you behave in a different way and you see a different result and we think a different way, see a different result. And so and I also want to say you probably likely have a kind of a new view of things, Kevin, and you're handling yourself accordingly. So good for you. And you've really been turning a corner. In other words, what you've been working on, I think is a good job. Awesome.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right. I do think that's everybody that put their name in chat. Wendy had thrown out there. She feel like we should give me a card for my vacation send off. So this is very.
I'm down.
Very, yeah. I'll do it. I'll roll with it. Now, this is obviously going to dictate my trip, and let's just hope that it's.
No
Let's
pressure.
Just hope it's a good one. All right. So Wendy's going
to
actually
really
be kind.
Screen these cards.
What's that?
Oh my God! I have to screen my cards now. Oh my God! I don't do that, people.
I know that death isn't the death card, but don't pull the death card.
No, I won't.
But I know that Wendy's kind enough. She's going to grab cards. She's going to pull one for me, and.
I will definitely pull the support card.
All right.
She
I appreciate
had to.
That.
She just asked for a few seconds while she flew over the puppy gate she had going on. Of course, we all know that she has this myriad of critters, too, including pigs and everything. So she's ready. What have you got?
So, And while she's pulling that, and thank you everybody for putting up with my trio of beasts. I know that they've been a little fussy. I tried closing the door. I tried putting them over in the other room. I hope it's not coming up on the mic too much, but thank you all for your patience.
Yeah,
and
fun.
I just can't tell you how much I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. Appreciate you being here, and I love seeing you. So thank you so much.
So Wendy's not written anything yet.
How about this? Number five, law of control.
Oh, she has law of control.
Number five, law of control. Let's see.
Right, Goodman. When was the last time we pulled that card?
That's a good question. That is a good question. But let's see, law of control, that's in the life leadership paragon suit. And let's see, differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept the present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. Good card, good card. Sometimes I wanted to switch that to me. I can accept present circumstances, but I'll just say real quick that that is probably a particularly good card for me. Dr. Vicky.
I think you're going to have some realizations on this trip, Michael. I think this is a healthy kind of almost a, you know, when people talk about a vision quest, that's what I'm going with here. Because I pulled the Hanged Man. And just for everybody's sake, I love the Hanged Man. And I always think of it as Odin on the tree of Yggdrasil. And, you know, he's wanting to know insights and have them. And he has to give something up in order to have a greater enlightenment. So in the law of control is kind of relates in a way of giving up an old belief system or a thought, you know, something that you thought was absolute that isn't kind of thing. And there's this awakening. And I think you're on a vision quest, Michael. That's what I think. I think it's exciting.
You know, that's very interesting.
It's cool.
It is. I appreciate that. And, you know, I appreciate the explanation, too, and the preface because, you know, the Hanged Man almost seemed like, God, somebody's going to get hanged on this. Hung. I think it's hanged, actually, is the unusually grammatically correct version of that. But, no, it's interesting because I haven't been, you know, home for years. It's actually been since my mother's funeral when I was 18. We talked about death and we've talked about grief, and this trip has a lot to do with that for me because for the first time in 18 years, I'm going to go visit my mom's headstone. And not to say that she hasn't been in my thoughts and at times in my hearts, despite a at times contentious relationship, but it's going to be one of those trips. And, you know, to those that know me, I've been a little more anxious lately because I'm, you know, going to be seeing people and relatives I haven't seen in 10 years. And, thank you. This is actually a very remarkably on point card. And I was going to say unusually on point, but it's not unusual because, Dr. Vicky, you're always on point.
Oh, I just listen, Michael. My job is just to find the words to articulate the impressions I get. And I don't always do a great job, but I'm glad that you think so. And I'm glad people get something from that. So thank you for that. Yeah. I think this is a great trip for you. I think even I'll go in so far as a healing trip when it comes to control stuff, you know? And we all have our issues, everybody, trust me. It's like, I guess I can let go of that control now.
Unfortunately, at times, I have had to really remind myself to rein things in because I can be very opinionated. And there have been times in my life.
Oh, say it isn't so.
I know. Shocking, really. But there were times that, you know, I obviously, you know, have to remind myself that no, you're wrong. Not everybody is entitled to your opinion. And while those moments of clarity might be rarer than most people would like, they do happen.
Oh, you're going to have a great time. People will love to see you. And it's going to be a great trip, Michael. A full and fast trip. And you, comes back almost a different guy. I can't wait to see who you are when you get back.
Oh, no pressure. You know, I'm going to come back with some kind of enlightenment nirvana kind of stage here. But anyway, thank you very much.
For those who don't know, because Wendy is, of course, I had a lot of pressure put on me, but Wendy keeps track of the Inner Oracle self-discovery cards, and I have started keeping the papers with the tarot cards. And so far I have not seen anything, but we've only been doing it for a couple of weeks. But I am going to keep you posted along the way if I see repeated things in the tarot cards, and hopefully I'll have a report for you along with Wendy at the end of the year.
Oh, so we're doing that. Very interesting. I know we had talked about that, but that's very exciting. I'm going to be looking forward to that.
Oh, we'll see. We shall see. 54 Inner Oracle cards and 78 tarot cards. So I think it might even be more interesting if I narrowed it down to the 56, you know, or 52 of the minor arcana. But, yeah, we'll leave it as it is. I like those major arcana cards. So,
well, I mean, if the probabilities, you know, if the message is there, it's going to defy probability no matter how many cards are in the deck.
Yep, that's my theory.
But
yeah, well.
Everybody,
you know, we're all dealing with stuff. Everybody is dealing with stuff. Don't let them push you around out there. Be yourself. Be strong. Be quiet when you need to. In the face of any kind of nonsense and aggression, just kind of shrug your shoulders and shake your head. I kid you not. I have to say this. New neighbors across the street and one over. They moved in a couple of months ago. Start digging up their front yard. Yesterday, they hit a gas line. Oh, the whole neighborhood's shut down. Can't move. I'm thinking I'm going to be late for my grandson's 13th birthday. And I'm thinking, oh, this is fun. Oh, today, what do? They hit a cable line. You know, it's just, I don't know what is going on. But, you know, you just have to shrug it off. And just, oh, well, you know. So I didn't have cable for a better part of the day, off and on. You know, as they're fixing lines. And, you know, it's just roll with it. Mm-hmm. So roll with life, people.
Well said, well said, you know.
Keeps your sanity.
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, there are the laws of physics and Murphy's Law. Those are the, you know, hard things that we have to deal with in life. And, you know, absolutely. You know, some things are going to go wrong, but you roll with the punches. And, you know, as I've been saying lately, as you've been talking about, don't let the bullies get you down. I'll add what Grandma Kelly always used to say. Don't let the turkeys get you down when you can soar with the eagles. So with that, I will just say thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you, everybody, for your contributions. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you. Again, we're going to be off next week. We're going to be back with Dr. Mike, having a great conversation. And just another thank you to Tabitha for joining us, to Wendy for joining us. It's been a great, great time having these guests, so thank you very much. And as we sign off, Dr. Vicki, any last thoughts?
No, thanks to everybody else. It's nice to see Raven back. Nice to see Laura here. I see Dr. Zach in the chat. You know, it's awesome. Dr. Anderson, you know, this is fabulous. So thanks for all of you being here.
Absolutely. And until we see you in 2 weeks, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.